I am Roberta Schultz. It may surprise the listener to know that this book reviewer started out first grade in the Redbird reading group. While I believe in my heart of hearts that this mediocre placement resulted mainly from my inability to sit up straight and recite the alphabet backwards, that seemed to be the criteria for ascending into Miss Godley's Bluebird reading circle. While we Redbirds stumbled to recite something we had just memorized inversely, the Bluebirds spouted the backward sequence fluently, giving them the advantage in the highly sequenced world of Dick, Jane, and Spot. And pity the poor yellow birds, for whom just sitting up straight or still was the challenge. Did I mention that my teacher's name was Miss Godley? That was my first lesson in irony. The sad part was that I loved reading already. My father challenged me to memorize passages from the Bible each morning as he helped me get ready for school. I checked out books from the school library, mostly about cats, but hey, and my teenaged aunt loved to read Rapunzel to me and my younger sisters. I could see no real relationship between what we were doing in those rote, word-calling circles and reading. It wasn't until my family moved and I switched schools that I became engaged with what teachers thought reading was. My new school used phonics and sounding out for those yellow birds who couldn't break the sequence code, and offered books about real people and places for those of us who didn't care about characters with monosyllabic names or their dogs. And let's face it, Bluebird kids will always figure out the system enough to get by. Today I'm not actually here to tell you about my shaky start as an academic, but rather to review a beautifully written biography for young readers about an award-winning children's author. In Virginia Hamilton, America's Storyteller, Ohio University Press, 2017, Julie Rubini creates the kind of book I would have gladly pulled from the shelves during free reading time. Another innovation my new school offered for those who had finished in-class assignments. This quote from the beginning of a chapter entitled First Person sums up Virginia Hamilton's challenge when writing for kids. The challenge for me, the writer, is to deal with all that I consider to be the real world by creating a youth literature that, beyond entertaining, shows compassion, hope, and humor. I try to provide ways to thinking, ways of opening minds to personalities. End quote. Rubini enters the real world of children's author Virginia Hamilton, beginning with place. Descended from slaves who escaped slavery via Ohio's extensive Underground Railroad, Hamilton grew up in the rural environs of Yellow Springs, surrounded by family rich in storytelling tradition on one side and the fertile academic soil of Antioch College on the other. Hamilton's attention to all the family stories and the exaggerations that accompanied them for effect, coupled with her frequent visits to the charming Yellow Springs Public Library, seemed to foreshadow her success at weaving those experiences into captivating children's literature. She begins The Notebook at age 9. Julie Rubini presents many historical side notes to the young reader to provide context for Virginia Hamilton's formation as a writer. A comprehensive map of Underground Railroad routes through Ohio accompanies the chapter about Hamilton's slave ancestors, as well as a photo illustrating the slave pen at Cincinnati's National Underground Railroad Museum. Other side notes and graphics about the Civil Rights Act of 1959 and incidents of racism at the Little Theater of Yellow Springs helped to explain why Hamilton's quest for a quality education was at times an uphill climb. In the chapter entitled Voice, Rubini highlights Hamilton's time in Greenwich Village, where she meets her future white and Jewish husband, Arnold Adolph, at a jazz club and discovers through a literary agent that her writing would make great children's literature. Historic side notes for this chapter include the Supreme Court case involving interracial marriage and information about Arnold Adolph's own groundbreaking picture book entitled Black is Brown is Tan, featuring a family composed of a black mother, a white father, and their children. In the chapter entitled Flashback, Rubini writes about how Virginia Hamilton and Arnold Adolf moved their children back to Yellow Springs, where both writers pursue their respective work amid the rich environment that inspired Hamilton as a child. From this point in the book, Rubini describes many of Hamilton's award-winning books and how they are based on the family stories and local environs. M.C. Higgins the Great features Sarah's Mountain, an actual landmark that was destroyed by strip mining. The historical side note in this chapter again underscores the fictional work with real-life context for the young reader. Among Hamilton's extensive lists of awards, on pages 117 through 119 in the appendix, are the Newbery Award, the Hans Christian Andersen Medal for the body of her work, and even the MacArthur Fellowship, or Genius Grant, in 1995. Virginia Hamilton was the first children's writer to receive this award. An entire conference on multicultural literature for youth exists at Kent State University, entitled the Virginia Hamilton Conference, complete with awards for outstanding multicultural books. The first recipient of this award was Walter Dean Myers, whose work I was privileged to teach in my high school reading courses. Yes, dear listener, this Redbird reader went on to teach struggling readers of all feathers how to engage with the written word. So maybe that mediocre placement from Miss Godley was the inspiration I needed after all. Virginia Hamilton, America's Storyteller by Julie Rubini, is definitely going to hook some young readers during free reading time. It is a well-wrought biography that meets Virginia Hamilton's challenge of opening minds to personalities. You can find a link to Virginia Hamilton, America's Storyteller, at wvxu.org/around Cincinnati. I am Roberta Schultz.